Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, verse number 43. We'll use this verse as our text, and then we'll go from here. Matthew chapter 21, verse number 43. Therefore say I unto you, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given unto a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And our consideration of the kingdom and aspects of the kingdom, we want to take a look at this aspect of it. And may the Lord help us and bless us this morning. Let's go to the Lord in another word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for your goodness towards us and your blessing on us. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ and his shed blood and power to save. And Lord, that when you save us, Father, and as you have saved us, Lord, Jesus Christ does live within. And we praise your name for the manifestation of your Spirit in that. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for how you visit us with your word and shown us the truth, Lord, and given us faith to believe and made us your own. We pray that you'd help us we might live for you. Lord, we might be faithful to you and to the coming kingdom. And Lord, that we might serve you well and walk with you and have fellowship with you and your people. And Lord, bless us in the church that you've placed us in. We pray, Father, for those that are here and not saved this morning. Lord, you know them and you know their need. And we pray, Father, and beg you that you would speak to them. Lord, that you would visit them as you visited us. And Lord, that you would save their souls. Lord, show them Jesus, precious to the salvation of their souls. Father, give them ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to believe. Father, we pray. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here in Matthew chapter 21, the Lord makes this statement. He says, therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, whoever it is that he's speaking to. We'll see that here in a bit. And given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Back over here in Matthew 16, it's pretty close. Turn over there. We saw here in Matthew 16, last time when it preached on Sunday morning, we read this passage. Let's read it again and just review, for the sake of review real quick. In Matthew 16, verse number 13, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, another Jeremias, or one of the prophets. That's their opinion. He's one of the prophets, reincarnated, if you will. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And that's the question that all of us are asked and will face one day when we stand before the Lord. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say the Lord Jesus Christ is now? Verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Son of the living God. You're from God. We know that it is so. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. You didn't come to know this on your own, Simon, but it's been showed unto you. And that's what we pray. For those that are here and not saved, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be revealed unto you. We desire that for you. He needs to be revealed unto you. You need to receive the Lord in His words, on His terms, and you need to see that. He said, flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. That's our prayer. And that's the reason we point you to Jesus Christ. And that was the testimony of Peter. And he says, he goes on to say in verse 18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, a little stone in the Greek. We understand that. And upon this rock, speaking of bedrock, a great, huge, solid rock, the Lord speaking of himself, well, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, death, the death of men, shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. We looked at this passage last time and considered it and used it as a text about these keys. And we look about who has the keys and what the keys, what are the keys of the kingdom, which I believe we saw in the Word of God that it is the Word of God and the place where the Word of God is expounded and divided unto the Lord's people and preached unto a lost and dying world. We saw about why those keys are needed, because there are some great mysteries that the Lord has chosen through His church in this day and age in which we live, that through His church and using His Word will reveal those unto His people and unto a lost and dying world, preaching those things. And then we took a look about when were the keys given. Well, I want to focus this morning back over in Matthew chapter 21. Let's focus on this parable that the Lord gives here about the taking away of the keys. Okay, and this is we are blessed in that the keys have been given to the Lord's churches, and it's not based on any one person. You know, if I die being pastor of Olmsted Baptist Church, the keys won't be lost. Okay, but the keys are given to the Lord's church, the Word of God, the oracle of God, the testimony, the doctrine of God has been given to the church to hold that and to preach that and distribute that and to sow that in this world. Okay, and so it's not based on any one man. Thank God that it wasn't based on Peter, but it is based on the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His institution, the church. We want to take a look and focus here, here in Matthew 21. Let's start in verse number 33, about the taking away of these keys and how it came about and why it came about to where we in the Lord's church today are possessor of these keys and have a great responsibility in them having been given unto us. Here in Matthew chapter 21, we're going to start in verse number 33, but let's just get the context here. It's nearing the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this chapter, He makes His triumphant entry into Jerusalem. He fulfills prophecy in coming in on the donkey, the ass, the colt of the foal of an ass. He makes that. They spread the palm leaves. They spread their garments in the way. They cry, "All save, thou son of David, Hosanna!" They cry that, and the Lord is chided and told by those religious elite of the day, the religious leadership, said, "Make those people hush." And the Lord says in another place in the Gospels, He says, "Listen, if these don't cry out and proclaim the glory of God, then the rocks are going to cry out." Because it was the truth. They were proclaiming the truth. And then He goes into the temple and He purges the temples. He throws out those that are buying and selling and trading and changing money and selling sacrifices and all that. He throws them out. And the religious leadership of the day, or they're upset. They're tearing their shirt. I mean, they're sore displeased, as it says in the latter part of verse 15. And then the prophecy is fulfilled here out of Psalms 8, where out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. Verse number 18, He curses the fig tree, and so we have about that. He emphasizes to His disciples, believe in God, trust God, look to God, and go to Him, go to the Father in prayer. They challenge the Lord about His authority, the religious leadership does. Who gave you authority to come in here and tear up our deal in the temple and what we have arranged about changing money and all that stuff? He challenges them about John the Baptist, and then He tells about two sons, and that are commanded of their father to go and work. And then we come it down here in verse number 33, and let's pick it up. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged about it and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. This parable is kind of in parallel. It's some that we've taken a look at where a man went and he was to go and receive a kingdom for himself. But this one is a little bit different, okay? And so that's a reason that we've taken it and put it off unto itself. And so this man, he's planted a vineyard. He's put a hedge about it to protect it. He's built a wine press, built a tower so it might be guarded. And then he let it out to some men to work it, okay? And so he has expectation. He's put some labor into it. He's made provision in it. He's given everything and built everything that's necessary for that that vineyard to grow and produce grapes, and then from the fruit of that, for that to be yielded, and he has expectation, no doubt. He's a somewhat of a businessman, isn't he? He's going to receive of that, isn't he? But he lets it out to husbandmen while he goes into a far country. And when the time, verse 34, of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman, verse 35, took his servants and beat one. And then he sent another one, and he killed another. And then he sent another one and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did to them likewise. And so there's this thing, he keeps sending servants to make the collection, okay? He's not looking to throw them out. He's not looking to kick them out. But it's just time. It's payday. And he's looking to collect. And so he sends these servants, and they stone some, and they beat some up, and as it says in other accounts, they send his servants away shamefully and entreated. They keep doing this. Verse 36, again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. Verse 37, but last of all, he sent unto them his son, because he had a thought, saying, they will reverence my son. When I send my son, they won't treat him like they've treated my servants, but he'll be reverenced because they'll know that he's my son. They'll submit to my authority and being in the owner of the vineyard, and they'll go ahead and do what they're to do. I'll send my son. In verse number 38, when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come. Let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. So they said, you know, though this is the heir, we need to straighten up, boys, and go ahead and pay. No, they said, no, let's kill him because he's the future of the husbandman. He's the heir of this vineyard. Let's kill him. And then we'll grab a hold of this vineyard. We'll keep it for ourselves. Now, remember what's happened in this chapter. Okay? The Lord's come in a triumphant entry. He's gone into the temple and purged the temple. He's been challenged about why he has authority to purge the temple. And then he's challenged them, those that have asked him this, about John the Baptist. And he's even told them about John the Baptist, said, he came and you did not receive his preaching. And then we've ended up at this parable. Okay? And so here he is, the heir. They said, let's kill him. Verse 39. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. Verse 40, when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? That's the question the Lord asks. So when the Lord of the vineyard comes, what's he going to do to them now? What will he do? He asks that question. Let's see what they answer. They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men. Remember, this is a parable. And boy, those that the Lord's speaking to there, and he's speaking to those the religious leadership, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the lawyers and those fellows. Look at verse number 32. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. He's speaking straight to them. But the publicans and harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. So he's speaking straight to them. And so they answer, they said, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. That was the answer that they gave. That's not the Lord speaking. That's the answer that they gave. They knew what was meet. They knew what was suitable. Those hijackers of the vineyard should and would be destroyed. That's the expectation. Listen to what the Lord says. Jesus said unto them, did ye never read the Scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Yeah, that's a question. He said, don't you remember in the Scripture that the stone that's going to come, the Savior that's going to come, is going to be rejected, and it's right here in front of you, and you don't see it. My Father has sent prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet. The Lord tells in the Gospels, he says, you prove that you're the children of your fathers because you build the sepulchers of the prophets, but it was your daddies that killed the prophets. And by doing so and doing what you do, you sanction what they have done. And then he says here in verse 43, therefore say I unto you, because of this, the marvelous doing of the Lord, but your rejection, you builders, you're rejecting the cornerstone. He said, this, therefore, because of that, say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. The kingdom of the Lord is expected to bear some fruit. And one day the Lord's going to come collecting. And he said, the vineyard is not bearing fruit with you all leading it, so it's going to be taken from you. That's what it's all about. In verse number 34, what does it say about the husbandman and his expectation? There at the end of the verse, that they might receive, that they might receive the fruits of it. Right? He sent his servants to the husbandman that they might receive the fruits of it. The owner of the vineyard, the Lord of the vineyard, was sent to those men that he had lent it out to receive what was his. That's the way the Lord has expectation too. Verse number 44. Whosoever, this is a reference back to what was said in 42, whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. And I tell you what, that's where you and I need to be. We need to be on top of the rock. On top of the rock, broken to self. We need to yield to what the Lord says. We need to believe Him and trust Him in what He declares. We don't need to be wise in our own conceits and our own ways. We don't need to take the wisdom of men and the wisdom of this world and take that and with that think that we trump what God says. We need to believe what God says. We need to be found on top of the rock broken. See, how was it with the two men, the two sons that are earlier in the chapter? One said, the father said, go to my vineyard and work. And the one said, no, I'm not going. But later repented and went ahead and went. And then the other one said, I'll go. But you know what he did? He didn't go. And the Lord asked, said, who fulfilled the will of the Father? The one that was repentant. Amen? The one that was repentant. The one that said, no, I'm not going. But then later said, that's wrong. I need to go ahead and go. That's the one that did the will of the Father. Here he says, fall on this stone and be broken. Repent of your wickedness. Repent of your erring way. Praise God, there were men that did. Remember Nicodemus? He was of this group. He repented, didn't he? Remember Joseph of Arimathea? He was in the leadership in Israel. He repented, didn't he? He was found on top of the rock. Look what it says, goes on to say in that verse. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. That cornerstone, that stone that Jesus said he would build, that rock that he would build his church on himself. But upon whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. When you look at that latter part of that verse in the Greek, it's powder, powder, grind him to powder. I tell you what, on the bottom side of the rock is no place to be. On which side of the rock are you? Because remember what those fellows said? Those wicked husbandmen should be destroyed. And that's what the Lord's going to do. He's going to destroy those that are against Him. There's time for repentance, though. Verse number 45. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that He spake of them. They were a little slow getting it, weren't they? Out of their own mouth, they condemned themselves and what they said about the wicked husbandmen that the Lord of the vineyard had lent it out to. They said they need to be destroyed. But now, the Lord says, because you've rejected the way of the Lord, the kingdom's going to be taken from you. You know, it's an interesting thing. When Jesus came on the scene, the power and the greatness and the work of His ministry, the words that proceeded from His mouth, the people and the multitudes would flock to Him. You know what they became interested in, the religious leadership of the day? They became interested and concerned that this man would take their fiefdom, their control, their little thing that they had built away from them. And you know what? By not yielding to the Lord, the thing that they feared happened. But had they submitted, was the kingdom taken away from Nicodemus? No. He entered into the kingdom, didn't he? Was the kingdom taken away from Joseph of Arimathea? No, he entered into the kingdom. He gained it all. But they held it for themselves. They were interested in their little cut of the money that they were getting there, of the money changers and those that sold the sacrifices. They were interested in that cut that they got from those fellows trading in there more than they were interested in the kingdom of God. Remember how the Lord said to the lawyers, "You got the key, and you won't enter in yourself. And then any of those that are looking to enter in, you prevent them too." Oh, may the Lord help us that we hear the Lord. Here, the taking away the keys. So the Lord makes this promise that the kingdom of God shall be taken away from you. The keys of the kingdom, the word of God, the oracle of God that had been given to Israel, it's right there in front of it. What did the Lord say in verse number 42? Did ye never read the scriptures? What's it say in John? I think it is in John. He said, look in the scriptures, and in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which speak of me. They just didn't get it. They were blind to it. Brother Jim, I'm not sure about this taking away this kingdom from the Lord. Turn over here to Romans 11. We've got a fine piece of scripture here that tells us about this even in a different way. In Romans chapter 11, we'll pick it up verse number 13. And I tell you what, this has to do with you and me today. Don't think that this is some far-flung thing, some issue that the Lord has with His nation that doesn't have to do with you and me. It has everything to do with you and me. It does. In Romans chapter 11, verse number 13, the Apostle Paul addressing here the church at Rome, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles," which he was, "I magnify my office." I want to talk to you here a little bit about these things. "If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are of my flesh." He says, I'm interested in the Jews being saved too. And so I'm going to talk to you about what the Lord's done for you and them, and might save some of them. "For if the casting away of them," that is Israel, "be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?" There's this whole thing that brethren take up this replacement theory about the church replacing Israel. This passage just, it floors that. It's not so. Israel has her place. The Lord's church has her place. And I tell you what, we're going to see. We saw the promise over there in Matthew chapter 16, right, that the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church, are they? The death of men will not cause that institution to cease. That institution will cease to exist on this earth when the Lord takes her out. But then when she takes out, by virtue of taking out His people, and then the Lord's people that are in His churches are gathered there to glory, to be with the Lord, then His church will be there. The institutions that the Lord starts will never finish. They'll never end. They'll never end. Now, we substitute, you know, His government is going to be forever. His church will be forever. His nation will be forever. And so the Lord started Israel, and He's going to bring her to a full end. He's going to bring her to Himself. And so that's an interesting thing, the sideline that's there. Verse 16, "For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches." Speaking of this plant, okay? Okay, there's a plant that he's speaking about. "And if some of the branches be broken off," verse 17, "and thou being a wild olive tree," speaking of the Gentiles, "were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root bear thee." Gentiles, we've been grafted in. We've been this tree that grows. We have been cut into those branches, and we've been taken and prepared and taken and placed into one. A branch was broken off, and then we've been taken by the Lord and we've been grafted into her. Don't get high-minded, he's going to say. Don't get wise in your own conceits. May the Lord help us that we not do so. Boast not against the branches, verse 18, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Yeah, well, that was the purpose of God. They were broken off so I could be grafted in. Look out. Look what it says. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith, belief. Be not high-minded, but fear. Why was the kingdom taken away from Israel? Because of unbelief. Are we bulletproof to unbelief? Look out. I'm not talking about the salvation of the soul. But we can be found in unbelief, can't we? May the Lord help us that we have faith. Faith in Him. And our faith is manifested by what we do. He says here in verse number 20, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches because of their unbelief, take heed lest he also spare not thee because of unbelief. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, and indeed it is, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness in faith, and keep on keeping on in the word of the Lord. And having been saved through repentance and faith, and by the grace of the Lord, continuing on in that. This salvation is a thing that does happen in time, at a point in time, but it's manifested through the rest of the time, as Peter says in his epistles, the rest of the time that the Lord gives us is our time to work, our time to live, our time to serve the Lord. We're not unbelief. We are susceptible to it. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, and they were broken off, but towards thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. If we are found unbelieving, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. Those that will have faith, you know what? They'll be grafted in. When Israel sees Jesus come back, that'll be the ultimate end of it for the nation. There are those Jews that are saved today. How? By faith. By faith in the Lord Jesus. And then there will be, when he sets his feet down on the Mount of Olives, there will be those Jews that will be there in Jerusalem trying to defend the city, and they'll see the one whom they had pierced. And they'll mourn. And there'll be a time of mourning. And the Lord will save Israel in that day. They'll be grafted back in, brothers and sisters. They'll be grafted back in. And they'll be done so, it'll be done so by faith. And they also, verse 23, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. He can do it. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, if God can do that, how much more shall these, which be the natural, be grafted into their own olive tree? Why was the kingdom taken away? Why was the kingdom taken away from Israel and the word of that kingdom, the message of that kingdom, the aspects of the kingdom, the oracle of God held by His church today? Why was it taken from them? Because of unbelief. But you know what that did? That made it to where we could be grafted in. And so, as the brother writes there, let us not be high-minded, but let us fear and let us be found in faith. You know, the Lord said it here in Matthew 28. Look over here in the Great Commission and the mention of these. And I mentioned a little bit about it earlier in the morning. Look what it says here. And the wisdom and the greatness of God and being able to somehow take a wild olive tree, you and me that are Gentiles, and graft us into that tree, somehow, some way, that tree of life, if you will. Look what he has said here in Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. It's to be, and the Lord's intent was that it go to all nations. Israel fell. Israel, the kingdom was taken away from her for a time because of unbelief. So that, and the Lord took that and used that opportunity, if you will. And it's all His work, great working and plan. I know that it is hard to comprehend it, hard to understand it. We just take it and believe that it's so. But He took that and made it to where you and I could have a part with God. We could have salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. We could be included in His institution of the church. All nations. In Mark chapter 13, take a look over here. Mark 13, verse number 10. Mark 13, and verse number 10, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. All nations. In Luke chapter 24, look over here. Luke chapter 24, verse number 47. And that repentance and remission of sins, that's the gospel, isn't it? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, repentance and faith in Him, faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, for the granting to you of eternal life, for the rescuing of your soul, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's where it started, and it went out from there. The kingdom was taken away from Israel, but it made it so. And the Lord blessed that Gentiles like you and I could be saved, and the Lord's church be built with Jews and Gentiles, and the keys of the kingdom be given to be held by the Lord's church. All from all nations. All nations. Look here in Romans chapter 1. All nations. There would have been no quarrel with God if He would have just held the truth of His Word and salvation to the nation of Israel. Who could quarrel with God? But even in the disobedience of His nation, the goodness of God, the grace of God, the greatness of God abounded towards usward. It's a marvel, isn't it? Romans 1, verse number 5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. In Romans chapter 4, take a look over here. In Romans chapter 4, verse number 17. Verse number 16, rather. Let's back up to verse number 16. Romans 4, 16. Therefore, it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham. Like Abraham's faith, who is the father of us all. He speaks to these Roman Gentiles. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. What's that talking about? Abraham is the father of faith. He believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But the nation, that which came from his loins and became the nation of Israel, they were broken off. The kingdom was taken away for a time. Why? Simply because of unbelief. They manifested and proved that they were not the spiritual children of Abraham. But in that, the Lord just didn't leave it that way. But he made it to where you and I could be the children of Abraham by faith. That we could be grafted in by faith. Being wild, being foreign, being separated from the commonwealth of Israel, the Lord through his Son made a way that we could be grafted in and be made a part. Faith in the Lord and being the children of faithful Abraham. He says in verse number 17, I have made thee a father of many nations. A father being the father of faith. In Galatians chapter 3, take a look over here. Galatians chapter 3. Verse number 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. He justified us by faith, giving us faith to believe, making us a part of his family. And in our day, and in the blessing that we have in being members of the Lord's church, Revelation chapter 7, take a look over here. And being in one of the Lord's churches where we are found to be the repository of the Word of God to spread to a lost and dying world. And what is it, the message that we preach? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Him. Faith in Him. Not faith in yourself, not what you can promise, not what you can pay, not what you can do, but faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That it's all in Him and through Him. In Revelation chapter 7, verse number 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number. What to say? Of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Yeah, the kingdom was taken away from Israel, so that many from other nations and kindreds and tribes could be brought in. And you know what? That includes us. I don't know. From what I know about my genealogy, if I've got some Jew in me, it's very little. And we're Gentiles. What we know about ourselves, we're Gentiles. And this is what the Lord has done to bring us in. Oh, may we value what He's done. May the Lord cause us to rejoice in it. In Matthew chapter 8, I want to include this passage in with this thinking. And the Lord said these things. And of course, we know everything in the Scriptures for a reason. We read over there in Matthew 21, verse 43, and how because of unbelief, the kingdom of God was taken away from Israel and taken away from the religious leadership. They were there. They didn't believe God. They didn't have faith in the Lord. They sought their own way. They were abusive like those husbandmen were. In Matthew chapter 8, verse number 5, and when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. This man's a Roman. He may be of another nation, and may be bought into being a Roman. That could be. We know that there are some in the Scriptures that tell about that. But he's a man that's in authority over a great number of soldiers. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. Yeah, that's what it says. He marveled. And said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, No, not in Israel. He said, this Gentile, as far as we know, this man was a Gentile. He said, this Gentile has exhibited more faith than any that I've run into to this point in Israel, in my nation. And listen to what it says. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east, and many will come from the west, and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom, those that should have been in her, those of the nation of Israel, as the Apostle Paul speaks there in the book of Romans about what advantage does the Jew have? Well, the advantage that the Jew has is they got the Word of God first. They had the oracles of God. They had the gospel of the Lord first. They had that which the Lord promised. The first covenant that He made was that the children of Israel said to Moses, said, go to God. We can't stand to hear from Him directly. You go to Him, and what He says we will do. But they didn't do it. So then the second covenant, you know what the second covenant was? The Lord said, I'll save them. I'll put my spirit in their heart. I'll put their words in my mouth. And I'll make them mine. The second covenant in Christ was based on what God would do and not what you and I would do. And so here He says, there's going to be come those that come from the east and from the west and are going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. And his servant was healed from that selfsame hour. Faith. Just believe in God. Believe in what God said was true. See, those that were there and that were closest to the Word of God in regards to the nation of Israel, there were many that rejected and were found in unbelief. And they didn't enter into the kingdom. Look at the nation of Israel. Since even the Lord's day until now, there's been many of Israel that have been born and lived and died and rejected salvation His way. But you know what? The Lord says, in the kingdom of heaven, sitting down there with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, He said, you're going to be surprised who's going to be there. You'll be surprised. A man like this, the centurion with faith, one that Israel, Jerusalem, my people, the nation of, as He would speak to the Jews, He says, you're going to be surprised who's going to be there. And they're going to be there by faith. By faith. Simply. By faith in the Lord and His salvation and His way. In Luke chapter 18, so we bring this down here today to us. The Lord's nation, Israel, is still His nation. But the keys of the kingdom, as the Lord said it there in our text, the kingdom would be taken away from them because of unbelief. We saw in Romans how that because of that and the Lord's greatness and His power, even though that happened with His nation, it made it such to where you and I could be grafted in. Salvation would be brought to us through the Lord. And even another of the Lord's institutions be provided that we could be a part of. The greatness of God. It's a marvel. It's a wonder, isn't it? It is. But as that first institution, you know, corporately, as they fell because of unbelief, how will it be with you and me? How will it be with us, the Lord's children, the Lord's people in His church? The institutions are going to make it. The Lord's going to bring His nation to His kingdom. The Lord's going to bring His church to His kingdom. So it wasn't the institutions that failed, was it? Because the Lord gave promise. He set His love on Israel from the beginning, and He's going to bring her there. And it's going to be by virtue of people. And those people will be there how? By faith. And he's given a promise to his church that the gates of hell, the death of men, would not prevail against her. He's going to bring his church to himself and his kingdom. But what about us that are in her? Will we be found in unbelief? We don't need to boast that we've been grafted in. The Lord hadn't owed us a thing. But will we be found faithful? Here in this parable about the judge and the wind, the widow woman, we read it here in Luke chapter 18, and he spake this parable unto them and to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Do you and I pray, or do we faint? Will we pray, or will we faint? Saying, there was in a city a judge that feared not God, neither guarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Because she's coming so much, and she's got the potential to wear me out with her continual coming, I'm going to give her what she wants. I don't fear God. I don't fear her. But I don't want to worry with her. So I'm going to give her. He said, to hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, the Lord will do this, and he'll be faithful. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Will you and I fall away? Tell you what, we need to live by faith. We need to pray to our Lord to keep us and help us. And turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says here in verse number 1, and we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, my letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Will you and I fall away? Will it be that we'll fall away from the Lord's church, and we'll fall away from the truth, and in that sense, and the blessing of the Lord in his church, and that, in that sense, the kingdom will be taken away from us? I'm not talking about the salvation of the soul. I'm just talking about living in life and service. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find us faithful? And that whole thing about being faithful is believing him in what he says, and taking it and using it, seeking him in prayer, and knowing that he is our all in all, and living like he is our all in all. Then we come to Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10. We that have been saved and put in the Lord's church, one of the first public evidences of our falling away from the Lord will be found in our attendance to the assembly the Lord's put us in. That'll be the first public witness of it. And that's the reason the Lord has given us this in the Scriptures. The Lord didn't let Israel off the hook for falling away, did he? But the kingdom was taken from him. The institution, she's going to come to the end. She's going to come to the kingdom of the Lord. The Lord's church has been given a promise that she will prevail until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. But what about the people that are in her? What about you and me? May the Lord help us to hear the Word of God. In verse number 22 of Hebrews chapter 10, because we have this great high priest, and we have this boldness to go into the holy place by Jesus, a new and living way, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's what John talks about, I believe, in John, or 1 John chapter 2 and 3. We have the hope of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us purify ourselves. So let us draw near, near to the Lord and near one to another. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. What's it say? Profession of faith. It's by faith we've been saved. It's by faith we serve. But we only show faith, James tells us, by our works. Faith without works is dead. Amen. Faith without works is dead. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. We won't have to worry about the Lord. He won't be unfaithful, will He? And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And we can only do that by being around one another. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Verse 26. For if you and I sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but we'll be chastised by our Heavenly Father. That's what that passage goes on to talk about. The taking away of the kingdom. This aspect in the kingdom is that there are those that fall away. There's going to be a falling away in the last days before the Lord comes. There's going to be those, there have been those, and there will be those that will fall away. But how will it be with you and I? Will we have the kingdom taken from us? Will we have the blessing of being in the Lord's church taken away from us because of our unbelief or our disobedience? May the Lord help us to be faithful. Amen. May the Lord help us indeed. I want to sing a song here. I want you to listen to the words of the song. Okay, listen to what it says. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Hear that? Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. That's from me and you. Okay? Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Which side of the rock are you on? Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. That Ebenezer talks about faith in the Lord and what He's done. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed His precious blood. There in Hebrews chapter 10, it talked about doing despite to the Spirit of grace. If you and I as the Lord's children know the truth and know what the Word of God says, and we choose to disobey the Lord, we can expect nothing but chastisement. And it's His precious blood that He's brought us. It's by the giving of Himself that He's done so. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. May the Lord help us that we will do so. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. You want to be bound to the Lord? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. If we don't have faith in Him, if we don't believe Him, what He says, the Lord says it, we are to believe it. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. I want us all to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for myself. I want that for you. And may the Lord help us that we just be faithful and believe the Lord. Not blow Him off. Not make excuse. You know, if there's something in the world that gets in the way of us serving the Lord and the simple things that He's given us, may the Lord help us to take that part of the world and just throw it aside. Because the things, the life, and the living, and the work in the church that we do for the Lord, these things are eternal. Aspects of the kingdom. There are those that fall away. And they fall away because of unbelief. May the Lord help us that we be not faithless, but believing. Amen.